You're hearing an interview feature from Echoes, the nightly music soundscape heard on stations across the U.S. and online at echoes.org.
There were eyes on us, parents advising us, so we pretended.
Dry the River is an English band based out of London, but when they made their second album, they traveled to Iceland and recorded it in the studios of legendary artists Sigur Rós and Valgeir Sigurðsson, bassist Scott Miller.
So isolated up there, you're so far removed from the world, so there's no distractions, you just kind of get your head down, and we just kind of really got a chance to focus in on what we wanted to make out of the album. And we had a little bits of time off, you know, here and there to do some exploring, and we kind of rented cars and drove around some of the more remote parts of the island, which are just this, you really kind of feel, yeah, you're in another world when you go out into those kind of environments, and then come back to a studio and kind of lay something down. It really kind of puts you into a different frame of mind than you'd get when you're just in central London, you know, what we're used to.
It's in Iceland that the visions of apocalyptic love on songs like Alarms in the Heart emerged. Peter Little plays guitar, sings lead, and writes the lyrics.
I was walking around this small kind of suburb of Reykjavik and just thinking about what it would have been like to grow up somewhere like that, and just the landscape itself is quite apocalyptic out there, I suppose, very volcanic and very severe, and I was just having a bit of fun with the idea of those kind of end of the world ideas and love conquering all, I suppose.
The spiritual fabric is sex and it's magic, it's carnival hell. But I tell myself it's the end of the world and it makes no difference to me now.
Dry the River's expansive cinematic take on rock sounds like something a group like Love may have recorded in the 1960s. And with their long hair, flannel shirts and hoodies, they could have opened for Pearl Jam in the 90s. When they signed their first record contract, Dry the River were all living together in one house in London.
We all just moved into this tiny two-floor house.
Two-bedroom
really,
house.
Really set up for two people to live in, actually, and we managed to cram in five of us living in there. People, you know, Pete sleeping on the floor. I was living in the lounge on, like, a couch.
I lived on a mattress under the dining room table for a year.
Now in their late 20s, they arrive at their sound via many routes. Formed in London in 2009, the members bring influences of progressive rock, heavy metal, folk music, and post-rock to the band.
And with us, we have kind of Scott and John, our rhythm section, who are very much into prog records and kind of 60s and 70s kind of rock. And then Matt has his kind of post-rock thing and some country music that he listens to and all kinds of things. So you know, I've grew up listening to more kind of classic songwriters, but like Leonard Cohen and Paul Simon and real kind of singer-songwriter type musicians, but went through a phase of listening to lots of punk records and all kinds of stuff. So the songs may begin as a kind of acoustic 60s and 70s folk kind of songs, and then by the time everyone's finished with them, they become their own beast.
By nature you're mild and you're meek, but they say that you judge by the company you keep. Merrily spin up, so when you speak like it's okay.
The vocal harmonies of the group tend towards the falsetto register, even though they have deep speaking voices.
I don't think I've ever really discovered where it naturally is. I guess my spoken voice is quite low. In the church, I always sang very high and very falsetto, and I guess that, in fact, all of us really seem to tend towards singing falsetto. Of the three of us, I use it a little bit less. I think certainly this record as well, it's quite a lot more full voice in it. But none of us are really very schooled with our singing, and we kind of make it up as we go along.
In fact, Little has a hymn-like quality to his vocal phrasing, and the harmonies of the band often sound gothic. The church influence extends to the religious imagery that pervades many of his songs, with titles like Demons, Bible Belt, and Shaker Hymns.
With my family on the right-hand side, family on the left.
went to a Catholic school when I was younger, and I kind of learned to sing in a church choir. And I think kind of by the process of osmosis over the years, the religious imagery seeped in there. And again, it's kind of comes from the songwriters I listened to. I was a big Leonard Cohen fan when I was, and Paul Simon as well. They both play with kind of religious imagery as a kind of creative and poetic tool. It's a shortcut to kind of set a tone in the music that we won't necessarily be singing about partying all the time or, you know, whatever. It's for us, we tend to be a band that sings about personal kind of experiences and personal kind of small obstacles and triumphs and the moments in our lives that are kind of meaningful to us. And so by using that kind of imagery, in a way, it sets a tone to say we're going to try and talk about human experience and something universal rather than just something off the cuff.
That's evident in the song called Gethsemane.
But the devil's tricks just seem to sit so light on you. They'd never get the marionette this tight on you.
Peter Little also has access to imagery you won't find at the disposal of most musicians. He was in the midst of medical school at King's College when he quit to be with Dry the River full-time. That experience led to the song Med School.
Oh, yeah. Well, in the song Med School on our second record, I talk a bit about human dissection and that experience, which I was a little bit freaked out by. The line, just the first line of that song, they're cutting up the bodies in the med school basement, just kind of popped into my head and it made me laugh, and I wondered if I could shoehorn it into a song somehow.
They're cutting up the bodies in the med school basement, and I am only watching on an academic placement. I regulate my breathing, but I can't escape the feeling that I should not be watching.
Although their name comes from an expression for getting drunk, Peter Little suggests that Dry the River isn't making party music.
One of my worries for a while has been that people think as a band, and certainly me as a lyricist and a songwriter, that we take ourselves incredibly seriously and that we're really melancholy kind of people, which we're not. And I enjoy the fact there's both those aspects to our music. We're not sitting in the bus, crying or you know, upset.
Dry the River's latest album is Alarms in the Heart on Play It Again Sam America Records. I hope you've enjoyed this production of Echoes. To hear more features and music like this, sign up for Echoes Online, our 24-hour on-demand music soundscape service. It's at echoes.org. That's Echoes, ECHOES.org. This is a production of Echoes, which holds all rights. Duplication, sale, broadcast, or distribution of this production in any fashion is strictly prohibited without the express consent of Echoes.